doing, bud? Thanks, Caleb. Fabulous job. It's Proverbs 16, verse 2 tonight. And we are continuing here in different word studies found in the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32. And I'm going to ask. Tell me which word you guys think it is. And all you folks in the crowd who are watching via live stream, you can tell me which one it is as well. Of course, it's loud, but you can guess, I guess. So, when you found Proverbs 16, verse 32, would you please stand? Read that verse there, Proverbs 16, verse 32. And God's word says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." And since we have less than 10 people here tonight, amen, we can ask the question. So, can someone give me a guess? Which word found here is where we're going to look at in the word study tonight? I'll take a guess. Yes, Jacob, let's hold a hand. Give me one of the words. Anger, no. Good try. Pick another one. Lindsay. No. One more shot. Hallie. Yes, it is. Hallie J. All right. It is spirit. And tonight we're going to look at the word spirit. It's a word of prayer, and you can be seated. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. I thank you for loving us. Thank you again for how good you are to us. I pray you bless this lesson tonight, this message. I pray it be helpful to God's people. We love you and thank you. Now, all we ask in your name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. All right. And I apologize in advance for my throat. It is still trying to get a little stronger here, but so I guess it's the best we're going to do here tonight. But I think we'll be okay. All right. So again, we're going to be looking, again tonight, we'll be in the book of Proverbs. And let me just say this to you by way of introduction. The book of Proverbs, I believe, is a great book to read on a regular basis because of how the book is constructed. What I mean by that is, if you look at the book, Proverbs has 31 chapters in the book. If you read one chapter a day, you can read through the entire book or most of it every single month. You know, it's called the Book of Wisdom for a reason. It can be a good help to us. You can gain wisdom to help us in everyday life from this wonderful book here found in Proverbs. So that's kind of just some little bit of a tidbit for you by way of introduction. But again, we're looking at the word spirit tonight, and we're going to look at just some instances where the word spirit is mentioned. And let me just talk about the word spirit here, if I can, briefly. It is difficult to be dogmatic or to be just narrow-minded or matter-of-fact to how the word spirit is used throughout the Bible. Sometimes the word spirit is used in reference to the Holy Spirit. Other times it's used to in reference to spiritual beings or to man's inner being. In reference to the way we relate to God, the soul and spirit can be parallel terms and can be used interchangeably. So the word soul, the word spirit, can be used interchangeably, meaning the same thing. I'm not going to go into the trichotomy there in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, which talks about the body, the soul, and the spirit. But again, the word spirit here in the book of Proverbs, usually when you see the word spirit mentioned in the book of Proverbs, it refers to the seat of emotion. It is a source and the seat of every insight, feeling, and will. So pretty much, here in the book of Proverbs, you're going to see adjectives describing the spirit. For example, you'll see hasty spirit. You'll see humble spirit. You'll see wounded spirit. So again, these are different, the seat of emotions, if you will. Though man's spirit is inward, it can be seen outwardly by his attitude and his actions. Here in the book of Proverbs, the word spirit is mentioned 15 times. And of those 15 times it's mentioned, you'll read 8 different types of spirits that are mentioned. Maybe, and it's kind of to give an illustration, if I can, so you understand where I'm going with this. Maybe you might meet somebody for the first time, and as you get to know them, you see the different sides or different attitudes or behaviors. You might say, man, I've never seen this side of you before. Usually when someone says that to you, it's never really a good thing. but again, So when they say a different side of you or a different attitude or behavior, that's a different spirit we're referring to here in the book of Proverbs. That would be what's being referenced here in Proverbs in these different spirits of that person. So we're going to look at eight different spirits mentioned in the book of Proverbs, all eight of them tonight. If my voice can make it that long, hopefully we can. If not, we'll finish it next Wednesday. But let me say one more thing before we jump into these eight different types of spirits mentioned in Proverbs. I believe all of us can relate to all of these spirits mentioned in Proverbs because all of us have exhibited these at one time or another in our lives. I know I have. I'll be honest with you. I'm sure one time or another I've exhibited one or more of these types of spirits, if not all of them. So I'm sure we can relate to most of them, if not all of them, because we exhibited these types of spirits one or more times in our life. Now, the first one we're going to mention tonight is not in chronological order. The rest will be. I just felt led to mention this one first, and then the rest will go in chronological order through the book of Proverbs. The first one is, we read it already, Proverbs 16, verse 32. And that is, the first one is the ruled, R-U-L-E-D, the ruled spirit. It says in Proverbs 16, 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Here in this context of this verse, we can read of a person who has ruled his spirit in the sense that they don't let themselves get angry. If you look here, it says a person who can rule their spirit is more powerful than the strongest person alive. It's kind of interesting that the Bible mentions that he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Because when a person cannot control their temper and gets angry, they seem to lose their sense of reason and say and do things that they often regret, and their strength becomes more of a liability to them instead of an asset. So my point being, folks, hey, listen, if you can rule your spirit, and in this case, referring to anger, this verse, you have certainly have something going well for you. I think of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17, that says this, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Listen, my friend, it's easier to rule your spirit when no one is coming against you or trying to attack you, but it's a whole other matter when someone is trying to provoke you or has hurt you or is contesting you. If you can control your temper, control your testimony, and control your tongue when someone comes at you, you have more power than the strongest person alive. That's what the Bible says. You know, control your temper, control what you say, control your testimony when you are stressed, when you are put, if you will, backed into a corner type of situation. And if you can control or rule your spirit, praise God for that spirit God has given you there. Listen, if I can be more simplistic here, ruling your spirit is simply all about staying in control. That's what it's about, staying in control. It's when you allow yourself to be in a situation when you can easily lose control, and that's when the danger comes in. But if you can keep control then, I promise, my friend, that's as a great place to be. Look, some of us struggle with anger more than others. That's the verse referring to. But praise God, he has given us the ability through the Holy Spirit helping us in his grace to help us control that temper and be able to control our tongue. There's some safety measures God gives us to help us in terms of controlling our temper or controlling our spirit, to ruling our spirit. One way is simply just be careful what we say. I found in my own life, if I say less, it usually does me a lot more good than saying more. Because if I say less, usually I'm not getting myself in trouble. Another way is to avoid a situation that can cause you to compromise that ruled spirit. I'm thinking here in the Munkowski house, the stay-at-home rule that's in place here in Illinois. It means the kids aren't in school, they're home more often, and they're around the house more often, and praise the Lord for it, I can spend more time with them, and I praise God for that. But I watch these five as they're around each other, as cabin fever sets in, as they get more and more used to each other, I find they're tempted to be at each other's throats. It's the way it is in Munkowski home. So I find you have to distract the kids or put them in different places of the house type of thing. But you know how it is? Be careful in situations. Keep yourself in situations that can prevent you from not ruling that spirit. So keep control. And you know, I think of the Bible. The Bible is a great way to keep yourself in control. One verse that has helped me is Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. I'll give you a second to find that, if you would. Psalm 119, verse 165. To keep control, to not lose your temper. It says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Let me explain this to you. When I get offended, I am tempted to lash out or to act out of character. So I have found, usually through experience, if I quote Bible to myself in those stressful situations, it becomes very helpful. Why? Because great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You don't get angry quicker. You keep your temper longer. There's something amazing about quoting this Bible over and over again to help you keep your control. So again, having that ruled spirit is very helpful. Number two, a faithful spirit. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13, if you would. 11, verse 13. It says this. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Now, what is it mean by faithful spirit? Let me give you a commentary that helps explain this matter of having a faithful spirit. He that is of a faithful spirit is not only one to his own promise or faithful to his own promises, but is also faithful to the interests of his friends, meaning he is one who is faithful to others just as much as he is to himself, thinking of others. I was in my devotions this morning and was over there in 2 Samuel, the story about Absalom, when he had that rebellion against his daddy, King David, over there, that failed rebellion over in 2 Samuel. And most know the story there over in 2 Samuel. King David, he's running from his life, and he's running from Absalom, and he's on the run, and of course he has some men with him. And he goes, talks to one of his men, his friend, Hushai. He says, "Hushai, I want you to go back to Absalom, and I want you to become, if you will, his servant." And in 2 Samuel 15, verse 34, David says this to Hushai, "But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel." So what he's saying is, David said, "Hey, Hushai, listen, buddy. I want you to go back home, or back to the castle. Go back to where Absalom is. And I want you to become his servant. Try to become his advisor like you were my advisor. And hopefully gain his trust. And hopefully you can prevent some dangers happening to me." And so that's what happens. Hushai goes back. He does exactly that. And he goes to Absalom. And I'm paraphrasing the story there. You can read it in 2 Samuel chapter 15. And he goes to Absalom. He says, "Absalom, I want to be your advisor." And Absalom allows Hushai to be his advisor. And he actually takes Hushai's advice over Ahithophel's, which saves David's life. And my point is, Hushai, he had a secret from David. But he protected David's name. He honored David. He never told anyone. He wasn't telling everyone about David and his secrets. He kept them to himself. He had a faithful spirit. And by the way, my friend, twice in the Bible, God refers to Hushai in this way. He says this about Hushai. Hushai the Archite, David's friend. Hushai was referred twice as David's friend because he truly was a friend of David. Why? He was faithful. But folks, listen. If you're truly a friend to someone, be faithful to them. Build and protect that trust. Friend, listen, my friend. if you will, this thing of building trust, being faithful, is hard to find. And if we can trust one another or be faithful to our friends, God will bless that. Have a faithful spirit. Number three, it says this, a hasty spirit. Proverbs 14, verse 29 says this, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Now, I'm not going to say a whole lot about this verse, because this verse details with a person who is slow to wrath, and we kind of touched on that in depth, looking at the one who had a ruled spirit, controlled their temper, about not becoming angry. But I will say this, if I can make this point about this matter of having a hasty spirit. In Strong's Concordance, it defines the word hasty as impatient. Impatient. If we could count up all the times we made errors because we, A, didn't double check our work before we submitted it, B, stopped to reread our text message or letter before we responded to it, or C, thought something through before we acted on it, the number would be shocking how high it was, the amount of times we made errors because we didn't double check, spoke out of turn because we didn't double check our text message, or acted wrongly because we did not think something through. Why? All three of those times are examples of us being impatient. Impatient, not being patient. Friend, listen, I know we're living in a fast society where we're flying by the seat of our pants, and it's getting more and more faster as technology continues to improve. But a hasty person or an impatient person will exalt folly, will have a lot more mistakes than a person who is patient. Being patient, taking your time. And a hasty he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty spirit exalteth folly. You will exalt folly when you are hasty. Number four, a broken spirit. Proverbs 15, verse 4 says this, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but from perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." Proverbs 15, verse 13 says this, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." And then Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. 17, verse 22. I'll give you a second to find it. 17, verse 22 says this, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." A broken spirit. So looking at Proverbs 15, verse 4, I really believe this. You find me a person who all they want to do is use their words to encourage others. All they want to do, if you will, to have that, to be that the encouragement to others, and to be the person who knows how to say the right words at the right time. You know, I think of Proverbs 25:11, which says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." And listen, if you are that person who all you want to do is say the right words to encourage people, you might not have all the intelligence in the world. You might not know how to fix relationships. You might not know how to solve problems a person has. But if you have those kind and right words to say at the right time, you will help many people and be very loved. And I promise you, my friend, you'll be like a tree of life to nourish and preserve others emotionally. I'm thinking right now of a brother I know of who was not a member of this church. He's a good brother that many of us know, and I won't mention his name, but he's a good brother, and this brother, I know of him often. Every time I cross paths with this brother, I always leave his presence encouraged or helped. He has no idea if I need encouragement, I get encouraged. Why? Because he's always speaking words of encouragement. He's helping. If you will, he is trying to, he's trying to get that spirit stronger or strengthened. He is not trying to break the spirit. Because again, according to Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. He has that wholesome tongue. That wholesome tongue. Now listen, and by the way, And unfortunately, unfortunately, the Bible is very clear. If we're not careful, a spirit can be broken through sorrow of the heart, according to Proverbs 15:13 says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." This could be a spirit can be broken by a traumatic event in a person's life, a disappointment that happens, or anything that is negative. And unfortunately, those things happen every single day, my friend. Listen, every single day we're going to come across situations where traumatic experiences can happen in our life, or disappointments can happen, or anything negative can come into our lives, and things can happen to break our spirit. So listen, we need more people who can have those words of encouragement. We need more people who are ready and willing to help by just being kind and gracious with our words. They can help to lift up another person's spirit. Another person's spirit. Let me, for sake of time, let me just do one more tonight. We'll finish the rest here next Wednesday. Let me just do one more this evening. The last one I'm going to do is a haughty spirit. A haughty spirit. We'll finish with this one. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, a haughty spirit. It says this: "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." The very first word of this verse, I believe, is one of the most dangerous words found in the Bible. It's the word pride. Pride was the first sin that took place. That was when Satan was cast out of heaven because of it. Pride is that sin that pushes us away from God. Imagine our pride pushes us away from God, not him away from us, but us away from him. James 4:6 says, "God resisted the proud, but give grace to them to the humble." He resists the proud. And according to this verse, it is what is the preface to a fall. When you think you no longer need your Bible, no longer need church, or no longer need God's help, you are a prime candidate for a fall. I know you've heard this illustration before. I'm sure many of you have heard. I've said it several times here from this pulpit. But it's such a good illustration to use. Now, I'll close this illustration for those of you who might never heard it before. There was a preacher who was an older man who was about to retire and pass off the scene. And he had a younger preacher who was going to take his place. The younger preacher came in as the interim preacher type of thing, kind of an apprentice, if you would. And the older preacher was showing the younger preacher the ropes. And the older preacher noticed the younger preacher had all the methods down. He had the right lingo to say. He had the right time in terms of leading music. He had to always look sharp, had everything matched well, the shirt and the tie type of situation. But one thing that preacher realized, it seemed like that younger preacher, he didn't take time for the Lord. He wasn't burdened about prayer, about getting close to God, about needing God have such a need for the Lord. And he tried to instill in the younger preacher a need for God. The younger preacher wasn't getting it. So the older preacher took that young preacher out into a lake one day to teach him a lesson. And he took the younger preacher out with him into a lake, and they were probably up to neck's length in this lake. The older preacher was still, he was old, but he still had a lot of strength to him. Still a pretty strong, a pretty fit man for being so old. And as around the lake, the younger preacher said, "Pastor, why do you have me out here in this lake?" And before he could even have the old preacher answer, the older preacher took the young preacher by the neck, and he dunked him under the water. And of course, the young preacher is grabbing and scraping on the older preacher, trying to get up. And finally, the old preacher pulls the young preacher up. The young preacher, and of course, the older preacher throws him down a second time in the water. And this time, the old preacher is frantically scraping at the older preacher, trying to get himself up to breathe. And the second time, he pulls him up. And all the young preacher can get out is, "Why did you?" And the old preacher puts him down again a third time, clawing at the old preacher to let him up. And finally, the old preacher lets the young preacher up out of the water. And he lets the young preacher catch his breath. And the young preacher says to the old preacher, "The pastor, why in the world did you do that? You almost killed me." And the old preacher said this, said, "Son, when you realize you need God like you need air to breathe, that's when God can begin to use you in this ministry." I never forgot that illustration, my friend. Listen, we need God. And when we stop thinking we need God, we let ourselves get filled with pride. We let pride control us. We let pride rule us. We think we don't need God. We don't need our Bible. We don't need church. I promise you, my friend, you are a candidate to going into a fall, getting dangerously and close to messing up seriously. Folks, pride go before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We need God's word. We need God. We need him like we need air to breathe. Having the haughty spirit is something that can destroy you if you're not careful. And just by saying that, like I said earlier, humility, I'll get into that next week. Humility is one of the sweetest things we can have with the Lord. God is attracted to humility. Humility. We'll mention that next time. So we're going to stop here tonight for that, and we'll finish up the rest of it next Wednesday night. We'll have a word of prayer here. We'll have an invitation. We'll dismiss here tonight. Let me ask you all, bow your head and close your eyes if you would this evening.